Okay, so we're going to turn to John's Gospel and chapter 8 and those wonderful words in verse 12. So if you have a Bible, open it. I'm just going to have a sip of water. John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 12, where Jesus says these words, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So on these Sunday mornings, we are looking at what we call the I am sayings of Jesus. So there's no more important question for us to ask and to answer than the question, who is Jesus? And there's no better way for us to look at the answer to that than to look and listen to what Jesus says about himself. And that's what we have in these I am statements. In each of them, Jesus is telling us something about himself. He's telling us something about who he is, what he's like, why he's come, why we need him. And Jesus makes these seven staggering statements about himself. Now, of course, we could dismiss them, or we could just say, well, this man was deluded. But that would be a very foolish thing to do when you consider the life and teaching of Jesus. Because the fact is that everything that Jesus did, everything that Jesus said, the impact of his life at the time and ever since, all those things back up the truth of these claims. You see, once you read in the Gospels, the life and the teaching of Jesus, once you read the Bible, which is ultimately all about Jesus, you realize this person has to be taken seriously. You have to take his claims seriously. So, for those of us who are Christians already, looking at these statements reminds us then of the one that we're trusting in, that reminds us of the wonder and the beauty and the glory of this Savior that we have, and reminds us of what he's like and of how we're to respond to him and how we're to be like him. And then if you're not a Christian, well, there's no better way really to consider who Jesus is than to look at these claims, what he claims, what he says, why you need him, and what he calls you to do in response to him. Well, so far we've looked at two of these statements. So on Easter Sunday, we looked at the Jesus saying, "I am the resurrection and the life." He's the one who's come to as a life giver to defeat death, to give us hope in the face of death, to offer us eternal life. I am the resurrection and the life. And then last week, we thought about him saying, "I am the bread of life." So Jesus is saying there, "I am the one who's able to meet your greatest needs and satisfy your deepest longings, your hungers." And then this morning, then we come to consider these words, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Now, in terms of the context of these words, if you've got a Bible, you can turn back to chapter 7 and verse 2, which tells us that this happened during the time of the feast, what's called the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the Jews had three main annual feasts that they held each year, obviously, and one of those was called the Feast of Tabernacles, when they would make booths, make tents, tabernacles, and live in them. They might make them outside their home. They sometimes made them on the roof of their home. And it was a time when they remembered how God had brought them out of Egypt and through the wilderness, how they'd traveled through. They'd spent 40 years actually living in tents, in tabernacles. And God had brought them through eventually to the promised land. And of course, during that time, God had led them with a pillar of fire, a light to guide them. And now Jesus is saying, "I am the light, not just of the Jewish nation, I am the light of the world." He's the one who guides and leads and calls us to follow here. We also know actually that during the Feast of Tabernacles, in the courtyard in the temple where the treasury was. During the week, in every evening, they would light big lamps and candles that lit up the temple and made the temple stand out like a beacon. And it was a sign of joy and a hope. And there would be singing and dancing. And we know from back in our chapter and verse 20 that Jesus was actually in that very courtyard when he said these words. So he says, "I am the light of the world. I am the one who brings hope and joy to the world." And that, of course, also fits with the context of the religious leaders bringing this woman caught in adultery to Jesus. And without condoning her sin, he doesn't finally condemn her for her sin, does he? There's forgiveness, there's hope, there's new beginning from the one who is the light of the world. So that's the context then in which we find these words. And I simply want us to think about two things this morning, okay? What Jesus is saying about himself, and then what Jesus is promising to us. So first of all, what Jesus is saying about himself. I am the light of the world. What's he saying by that? Well, three things. We'll think of them, two of them quickly, and then one of them in more detail. First of all, Jesus is saying that he's God. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time on that this morning because we thought about that quite a bit last week. But with these I am sayings, Jesus is claiming something quite incredible. He's claiming that he's God. I said last week when he says I am, we have those two Greek words, ego eimi, I am, I am. And those are words used by God at the burning bush with Moses, as he tells Moses his name, and his name, Lord, as we say it, means I am, and speaks of the eternal, unchanging, all-sufficient, sovereign character of God. And Jesus is claiming that for himself. He's saying, I am the I am. And not only is Jesus claiming it for himself, John is claiming it for Jesus as he writes his gospel. I mean, you can't read through John's gospel without realizing that he is saying Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God himself come into the world. I mean, we read, didn't we, from John chapter 1 at the beginning of the service. How does John begin? In the beginning was the Word. That's speaking about Jesus. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He goes on in that opening prologue. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then actually, John not only wrote a gospel, he also, in the New Testament, we have three letters that John wrote. And in one of those, he refers to God in this way. He says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is pure and glorious and holy and true, without any lack, without any blemish. And John is claiming that for Jesus as well. That's who Jesus is. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. So people say, perhaps you've said it. Well, if there's a God, why doesn't he show himself? Why doesn't he come and say, here I am, so we can all know? And of course, the Bible's answer is he's done that exactly, amazingly, in a far more wonderful way than we could ever possibly imagine, in the person of Jesus coming as one of us to die for us, to save us, to reconcile us to himself. So that's the first thing Jesus is saying. He's saying he's God. Second thing he's saying is he's unique. He doesn't say, does he, I am a light of the world. I'm one of the lights of this world. I'm one of the teachers. I'm one of the truth givers. No, no. He says, I am the light of the world. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, ultimately, without me, there isn't any light. He's the only light. There's no one else like him. He can't be placed alongside anyone else. He stands alone. And really, that's one of the truths that come out of the I am sayings, the sort of exclusive nature of the claims of Jesus. You see, the truth of the matter is that you can't place the Jesus of the Bible in some multi-faith service. You can't put him alongside Muhammad and Buddha and whoever else you want to put him alongside, because when you do that, he cries out, I am the light of the world. Or as we'll think on another Sunday, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So you see, we have to understand the exclusive claims of Jesus, of the gospel, the exclusive nature of the gospel. Now we understand, don't we? That's increasingly unacceptable in our culture. We live in an age that says, well, you can believe what you like, as long as you also say that that what everyone else believes is true as well. You know, it's true for them, it's true for you. Well, everybody's happy. But Jesus doesn't say that. He says, I am the light. I am the way. I am unique. There's no one else. There's no other hope. There's no other light other than me. So what's Jesus saying? He's saying that he's God. He's saying that he's unique. He's saying he's the answer to the world's greatest needs. That's the third thing. I think about this a bit longer. He's saying he's the answer to the world's greatest needs. You see, I am the light of the world, he says. So let's consider for a while what light does. You children, you know what light does. One thing is it dispels the darkness. That means it gets rid, it pushes back the darkness, doesn't it? Now, darkness is used in the Bible to symbolize and speak of all sorts of things. So it's used to speak about sin and wickedness, the kingdom of darkness. It's used to speak of despair and hopelessness. It's used to speak of lostness and sadness and distress and mourning and death. The people who dwell in darkness, the valley of the shadow of death. Well, that's the sort of place then that Jesus has come. That's our world. Now, of course, there's still lots that's beautiful. There's still lots that's good. But it's a tragic world, isn't it? A world of sorrow and sadness and tears and brokenness. It's a world where, even at its best, still has the shadow of death hanging over it. It's a broken world. There's much darkness and evil. We can't deny that, can we? And the Bible says that's the result of sin. That's the result of us turning away from the God who is light and getting further away from him. And as we do so, it gets darker and darker. We've decided to do our own thing and go our own way, and it's ended in tragedy and despair and death. And yet Jesus has come to dispel that. He's come to deal with that. He's come to undo that. He's come to deal with that despair. He's come to deal with sin and push back the darkness and bring peace and pardon, and with it, life and joy. He's come as the light of the world to dispel the darkness. But another thing that light does, it dispels the darkness, but it shows you where you are and where you're heading. I've mentioned before at church how when I first came to Great Ellingham a long time ago now, 25 or so years ago, I came from a town. I mean, it wasn't a very big town. It's just a sort of market town in Wiltshire. But we had these things called streetlights. They're quite useful, you know, for seeing where you're going. And I came to Great Ellingham, and of course, we haven't discovered those yet, really. And I remember going out one evening. I was invited up the road to the Sayers' house, and I thought, well, it's not far. I'll walk. And I set off. It was a pretty dark night, and I suddenly realised after a while, I'm not going to make it. I can't see where I'm going. I had to go back and get the car. Well, you need light, don't you? The light shows you where you are, where you're heading, what dangers there are. And again, that's the trouble with the world. It's a world in darkness, in the sense that it doesn't know where it is or where it's going. We've wandered away from the God who is light and from his word, which is our lamp, and we're lost, and we're fumbling around, and we don't know really where we are or where we've come from or where we're heading. And so Jesus is coming. It's like a light, because suddenly it shows us where we are, what life's all about, the way to God. In him we can understand who we are, why we are as we are, what life's all about, who God is. He's come, he's revealed all these things, he's made these things known. He's like the light shining in the darkness. So do you want to know what life's all about? Do you want to know who you are, where you're heading, how you are to be, what's gone wrong? Look to him. Listen to him. He's come. He brings light into the darkness. So what does light do? It dispels the darkness. It shows you where you are and where you're heading. But it also exposes things, doesn't it? Shows things up. If you're of a certain age, you'll remember the old washing powder adverts that used to come on the telly. I think it was the Daz Doorstep Challenge, where some sort of minor celebrity would turn up at some poor unsuspecting person's house and ask them, you know, were they happy with their present washing powder? And they would say, yes, of course. And like, go and get it. Go and get some of your clean washing and bring it out. And it would be held up to the light. And you could see the stains on the collar and so on. And suddenly, whoa. Well, in a sense, that's what the coming of Jesus has done. We say, well, yeah, am I happy with my life? Yeah, I'm okay. I'm all right. I think of a few people who are worse than me. But then our lives are brought out into the light of Jesus' perfect life. Because that's Jesus' life was a perfect life. He loved God with all his heart. He loved his neighbor as himself. Never an untrue word, never a selfish act, never a lie, no greed, no lust. And, you know, we might feel pretty good about ourselves, but then in comes Jesus, the light of the world, and our lives are exposed for what they really are. And his teaching is exposing too, not just his life and his perfection, but the way that he spoke and the way that, if you read the Gospels, the way he knows us and he opens us up and he searches us and shows it's not just about the outside, it's what's within as well. And that's why the religious leaders of his day hated him, why the scribes and Pharisees wanted to get rid of him, because here they were feeling good about themselves, giving off this impression of how holy they were, and Jesus comes and he shows it all up. But you know, the truth is that so often, rather than coming to the light, we run away from the light. The Gospel of John speaks about this, doesn't it? In chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, this is Jesus speaking. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. You see, this is the great tragedy of our world, perhaps of your life, that the light has come, and yet you run away from him. You see, Jesus has come to show up our lives and to show us our lives, but he's done it so that we might see it and then go to him to save us, to deal with our sin. It's a kindness that he exposes what's there. So what does light do? It dispels the darkness. It shows us where we are, where we're heading. It exposes and shows things up, but it also brings life and warmth and joy, doesn't it? I mean, the sun. I mean, it's been wonderful, hasn't it, these last few days, well, a bit longer than a few days, that the sun shines and there's a joy that it brings, the light, the colours, the life. And that's what Jesus brings. As you come to him and trust in him, he brings life and joy and peace. That's one of the themes of John's Gospel. If you read it through, he's come that we may have life. We have it more abundantly. He's come in that way. And as he reconciles us to God, so we know joy and peace, the warmth of God's smile on us. And all is well. So when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he's saying, I am the answer to this world's greatest needs. He's come to deal with sin. He's come to save from sin. He's come to bring hope and joy and gladness by showing us our sin and then saving us from it as we come to him and as we trust in him. He's the light of the world. And yet, as I said to the children, in order to be that, he had to enter the darkness. Because on the cross there, he enters the darkness. He experiences God's wrath. In a sense, he endures hell for us. It's perhaps worth pointing out that Jesus, when he referred to hell, spoke of it in this way, the place of outer darkness, where we are completely separated from God, the God who is light, from all joy and all peace and all hope. But Jesus experienced that on the cross, so that if we come to him and trust in him, we don't have to know that. We can know the joy of forgiveness and a place in heaven. That's what Jesus is claiming about himself. What an amazing claim it is. What Jesus is saying about himself, what Jesus, secondly then, is promising to us. This is much more brief. What Jesus is promising to us. What does he go on to say? He says, I am the light of the world, but he doesn't stop there. He says, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Who is this promise made to? Well, he says, he who follows me, anyone who follows me. Now, the Greek expresses a once-for-all decision and action, a sort of leaving all behind in order to follow Jesus. It's a once-for-all decision. And, of course, that's what Jesus called for at the time, and he still calls for us to do, to follow him. You see that in this gospel and in all the gospels, in John chapter 1 and verse 43, for example, he says to Philip, follow me. He finds people and he says, follow me. Stop what you're doing and follow me. That's what it is to be his disciple. Jesus on one occasion said, whoever wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Because whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. That's what it is to be his disciple, to leave everything and follow him, to realize he must come first, everything else must be left, all other idols given up, all sin turned from. You must see that you need him more than anything else, that to follow him is more wonderful than everything else, and you say, here I am. That's what it means to trust him. That's what it means to believe. To come and bow before him. It's all or nothing. Have you done that? Can I ask you that this morning? Have you done that? Are you following him? Christian this morning, are you still? Have you forgotten that initial giving of yourself? Perhaps he's calling you back again. This morning. And if you're not a Christian, you need to understand that. I can't hide that from you. That's what he calls for, complete surrender. But he's worth it, and you need him. And he wants you to see that. And look what he promises then to those who follow him. He says, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Now, we've already said what darkness portrays. It portrays lostness. It displays, it speaks of despair, of sin, and its grip. So Jesus is promising the one who follows him shall no longer be lost, first of all. You, as you follow Christ, you know where you are. You understand who you are and why you're here. You know where you're heading. You're on that narrow way which leads to life. Suddenly, as God opens your eyes and opens your hearts and gives you a hunger for his word, you can see, you know where you are. And Jesus is also promising that those who follow him will no longer be in the grip of sin. They'll no longer walk in darkness. Darkness is often, as I've said, used in the Bible to speak about that being in sin, gripped by it, unable to get yourself out of it. But the one who comes to Jesus and trusts him and follows him is free from that. Not just from the forgiveness of sin, but freed not only with the forgiveness of sin, but also with the defeat of sin. So not that we stop sinning, as Christians we still sin and we're sad by that, but its reign is broken and we're able to begin to live in a different way, with a new way, with a love for God and his words. And there's a challenge there, isn't there, in that promise for us as Christians. It's a reminder to us of how we're to live as we follow Jesus, that we're not to walk in darkness anymore. Do you remember how Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 puts it? So he says this in chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 8, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So there's that call to us then as Christians. Okay, we've come to the one who's the light of the world. So we're following him. We're no longer to walk in darkness. We can't live as we once did. We can't walk in sin. We're to walk in the light. We're to walk as children of the light, which is what we are by God's grace. And he's promising them, those who follow him shall not walk in darkness. You're no longer lost. You're no longer gripped by sin, and you no longer live in despair. There's a new joy. There's a new gladness. Not a glibness, but a deep down joy and contentment that comes from knowing our sins are forgiven, that God is our Father, that the best is yet to be, that we know where we're heading. And that the promise isn't just negative, is it? He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The light that brings life. That's what Jesus is. He's the light that brings life. And in fact, life, if you look through John's Gospel, life is knowing Jesus. Life is walking with Jesus. Life is living for Jesus. That's what true life is. If we don't have Jesus, if we don't know Jesus, the Son of God, the one who's come as our Savior, we're not really living at all. But when we trust him, amazingly, this is what every Christian finds. He comes into our hearts by his Spirit. We have him with us. And we walk with him, and we find our joy in him and our peace in him. And he's the light of life. You will have the light of life. And there's a challenge there as well, isn't there, for those of us who are Christians, because that's to make a difference. A difference in us. As we have the light, so we are now to be light. Now, Jesus said those amazing words, didn't he, in Matthew 5, verse 14. He turned to his disciples and said, "You are the light of the world." Now, of course, our light's a reflected light, a bit like the moon reflecting the light of the sun. Jesus is the sun, but as we know him and trust in him and walk with him, so his light is reflected in us, and we're called to be the light of the world. And Jesus said, didn't he, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." He says, "So let your light shine before men, that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." It's by the way that we live our lives and show the character of Christ and show the good works that his life was full of, acts of kindness and grace and love and purity. It's as we shine in that way that we're the light of the world, reflecting his great light. So here's Jesus speaking to us then. This morning, he's telling us who he is and what he brings. He's the light of the world, bringing peace and joy and hope and life. And he's calling us to respond, to follow him, to leave everything else and follow him and trust him. Can I ask you this morning, as I finish, are you still in the dark? Are you still on your own? Are you still trying to work out life for yourself? Well, Jesus says, "Come to me. Come to me. I'm the light of the world. Come to me and find truth and life and joy and peace." Will you come to him? Just pray to him. Just ask him. "Show yourself to me, Lord. Have mercy upon me." Confess your sin to him and come and find joy. And that's what every Christian's done, haven't we? We've come to the one who's light. God has opened our eyes and opened our hearts. And we know that joy. So, Christian, remember who your Saviour is. Remember all that's yours in him, the light of the world. And may God bless us and cause us again to see the glory and the wonder and the joy that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ.